The Finance Minister, Martine O'Meara from Sinn Féin, joins me now. Good morning, Martine.
Benny and John, good morning to both of you. I wonder just, and I may answer the last gentleman as well, if I could just say something in response to some of the comments earlier this morning on Good Morning Ulster. The Finance Minister remains in post and will be in post until the day of the election, and that goes for all the other ministers. So monies will continue to flow into public services. And yesterday I did a fairly intense meeting with senior officials. It's clear to me that they understand that this is a time to, I think, assure people, give people confidence that there is no threat to public services in the time ahead. Now, after the election, we move into a period of uncertainty, and that's true. But the direction of travel set down by ministers will continue. That is, groups will continue to be funded. The money will be available. And in fact, I know some groups are saying, well, maybe my contract is up for renewal. A reasonable and proportionate response to contracts will continue. So, for example, groups that I would deal with who help the homeless or help those who are dealing with self-harm or suicide, they should be able to have their contracts renewed. And that'll be a very strong message I'll be delivering to the Permanent Secretary of my department, who will be the person in charge in the time ahead. But, you know, when we say strong leadership, I think it's a defining moment for all of us, because do we believe in a society which says no to bigotry, no to discrimination, no to corruption? And I don't like uncertainty. And the last gentleman was talking about politicians and the time ahead and what they face. And politicians don't like uncertainty either. Neither does business, neither does the third sector. But uncertainty is always preferable to corruption and to discrimination. And so we have to ask ourselves, and every organisation, I'll be writing to the CBI, the Chamber of Commerce, and NICFA today, telling them what my plans to ensure that funding continues to flow, but also saying to them, will they make a stand against corruption? Will they make a stand against discrimination? Would they, if it was their organisation, and if you look at the executive as an organisation, would they tolerate someone being facing very serious accusations, not standing aside? Would the chief executive of those organisations, if we look at Martin McGuinness's decision, would they continue in post, or would they bring things ahead? And I think Martin McGuinness took a very principled stand this week, and I think the public understands that.
So, Martin, the Communities Minister, Paul Given, he says that, you know, bedroom tax is on its way, it's coming, it's just around the corner, and he is pretty largely blaming Sinn Féin.
Well, you know, it's been wonderful to see the new Paul Given over the last 48 hours. The Paul Given the public was introduced to was the Paul Given who, on the 11th of July, introduced £200,000 for marching bands. It was not an interesting date to make that introduction. And then later the same year, found another £90,000 for the same cause. And then on the eve of Christmas, decided that children who want to speak Irish should be the victims of his venom, and withdrew £50,000. He had no efficiency savings to make. He had adequate funds in his budget to pay those children and pay those grants. And in fact, if he did have a problem, of course, he could have spoken to the Finance Minister. So we are at this juncture. Amazingly enough, when you listen to the news...
Yeah, although Sinn Féin did fight to keep bedroom tax out, Minister, Martin McGuinness standing aside or his resignation, it looks like it's going to arrive, whether we like it or not.
And I'm going to come to that, Sonny. But let no one allow Paul Given to escape his responsibility for the crisis we now face. Because the DUP was being tested by the public. They were being tested in terms of corruption. The public suffered Red Sky, suffered Nama, where the DUP brought the hen, it brought the fox into the hen coop in Nama. And now we see the RHI, and I have no doubt that I say this as Finance Minister, I have no doubt that corruption lies at the heart of RHI. But Paul Given, if you wanted a straw which broke the camel's back in terms of refusal to afford parity of esteem, refusal to afford respect to the nationalist identity and nationalist community, Paul Given was the person who brought the curtain down on that. So for him to appear now, and it's an interest, now he's actually against Tory cuts as well. So Paul Given has no credibility.
So what do you say to the Minister, to Paul, when he says that he has given many thousands of pounds towards the Irish language, and he draws a comparison between it and Ulster Scots?
Well, what I will say to Paul is that I have rarely met, and I've met a lot of people in political and public life, I have rarely met anyone with an animus or hatred towards the Irish language, which I see in Paul Gibbon. And the payments he
he would say he does not have hatred. And he also points out that the Irish language is not just for the nationalist community, the Republican, the Catholic community, that it's for all.
A great shared treasure. And of course, actions speak louder than words. And Paul spoke at the mouth of Christmas with his venomous letter, withdrawing money and then saying, Happy Christmas and Happy New Year. His actions spoke louder than words. And really, Paul can try and reinvent himself all he wants. And I do regret this, because I thought there was promise and hope for him in terms of his political career. And I don't know if he will or won't lose his seat in the next election. But I do regret that for the rest of his political career, he will be identified. And across the island, because this slap in the face to those of us who wanted parity of esteem, this slap in the face to the nationalist community, to Irish speakers and to children, it will be forever on his political CV. And that's always regrettable. But, you know, the line in the sand was drawn. Speaking of that line,
Martine, many listening, the voters, listeners to this programme, they'll say, well, look, what about the Fresh Start Agreement? What happened there? Things seem to have broken down very badly between Sinn Féin and the DUP. And is this something going ahead, whatever happens in the elections, that can be repaired? Can you work together again, given what's gone under the bridge?
Well, you should always travel and hope, But if you look at the RHI debacle, and it's interesting again to hear Paul, Minister Gibbon, this morning saying that he has a plan to tackle RHI. The finance minister and the finance minister's officials, who are the people best placed and the only people who can test the viability of such a plan, haven't seen a plan. Paul says it's projected loss. Of course, every day £85,000 is lost to the public purse. That's real money being lost because of the debacle and the mess which Arlene Foster, by her own admission, is the architect of. And to give her due, she said, I'm the person who created this mess. But when it came to fix it, she had an obligation to do two things. One, to stand aside to allow a credible investigation to take place. She blocked that, prevented that. But also, and I say this, and I've said this repeatedly, and they won't take this piece of advice, but if I was the DUP, I would not let the author of this mess be involved in coming forward with a solution. I would keep it politics free.
Well, speaking of potential solutions, can you tell us more about the plan from Detty that was sent to the Department of Finance on Monday regarding a potential solution
I can't tell you which was withdrawn
10 minutes after you got it?
Yeah, what I can tell you is this, Danny. It's absolutely urgent that we stop the loss to the public purse from RHI. And we can make progress on this, because the suggestion was that any solution would come in on the 1st of April. So we could make progress on this today. And it's a week today since I met Minister Hamilton, and he promised to have a plan to me. And he hoped to have it by Monday. And of course, that didn't happen. But we could make progress on saving the public purse.
Yes, but just to stay on that point for a moment, Minister, that plan that was submitted, I think it was 5:55 on Monday p.m., and withdrawn 5 or 10 minutes later, 6:05.
Well, you tell me what's going on, Tony, because when I was shown a so-called plan when I visited Minister Hamilton, I was told then it's an interim plan. Arlene Foster seemed to know more about this interim plan because she said it would be no cost. As someone memorably said, you'd be in cloud cuckoo land if you believe there would be a no-cost solution to RHI. I then was told on Monday for 10 minutes the plan appeared in an email box of the Department of Finance, and then was withdrawn. So I have no idea what these people are playing at. I'm told they're going to go to other parties with this so-called sticking plaster interim solution plan, and yet they won't be able to say hand in heart that any accountant from the Department of Finance or economist has looked at the plan and says it stacks up, either certainly in terms of money, but also in terms of the legal. So, I mean, there is a job of work to be done, maybe today. Maybe today I'll get a scrap of paper in my hand, because officially at this stage we have been given no plan whatsoever, and that is not good enough. And you know, and this is it's regretful to say this, but since my appointment I have been bringing up RHI to the DUP and to the Minister of the Economy, and pointing up the existential threat to our finances posed by RHI. And it wasn't until Spotlight till they started to take this serious. But since Spotlight, they have still been behaving in a dysfunctional manner, and have not got to grips with this. They're sadly more interested Mrs. Foster being able to say to the Belfast Telegraph that she had a solution, that it would be no cost, more interested in the politics than in sorting out the problem. So I stand ready today. If they will send me a plan, they'll stand over it and put it forward for assessment. That will be done so swiftly, fairly, with an eye to the public purse.
Okay.
And saving money.
Before you go, Minister, a couple of final questions. In terms of people that might be affected by the so-called bedroom tax, if that does come in, as Paul Given is saying it will next month, what do you say to those people? The Department of Communities has said that without the Executive and Assembly approval, the Department does not have the legal basis to introduce the mitigation payments as planned. So those people that are sitting there thinking, I am on a very low income, I have very little excess cash to do anything with, if I'm going to be hit for £100 a month, this is really going to have a detrimental effect on me and my life.
Absolutely. It will crucify ordinary working class people, and that's why, of course, we have stood four square against a Tory austerity. We've stood against
the
Tory
austerity. Yes, but the DUP are now blaming Sinn Féin that this has been brought in.
Yep. Oh, well, I understand, and the DUP is blaming Sinn Féin for a lot of things, in particular Paul Givett, who sparked a lot of the problems we're in. What I would say is there are two things. One, everybody in this society needs to stand up against Tory austerity, just as we have to stand up against this Brexit madness they're imposing on us, and we will not accept a bedroom tax. Number two, Mr. Given, I say this to all the ministers, because we are facing into a period of uncertainty, and he's not the only minister to come to me with a conundrum or a problem, and these are real problems because we are facing into a crisis and a period of uncertainty. What I would say to Mr. Given is do your homework. You should have had this work done before Christmas. You haven't. We are where we are. Get back and explore. Don't come to me telling me there's only a 1% solution. I have sat down with officials and they believe creativity, they believe a determination to get it sorted rather than use it as a political ploy ahead of election would serve him better.
Yes, Minister, but once again, what do you say to the people that might be affected given that the DUP are blaming Sinn Féin for the fact that this is being brought in? So is there any accuracy in what he's saying?
No, well, I'm saying two things. One, we need to oppose the bedroom tax and oppose it with every fibre of our
I understand that, Martin, but if you are sitting there in a house and you're thinking this is going to really affect my ability to feed myself, to heat my house...
Yeah, and we understand it. And the second thing I'm saying to people is that Mr. Given is the last person to be blaming anything on Sinn Féin. This crisis we're in was caused by the corruption of the DUP, caused by the bigotry of the DUP, caused by the arrogance of the DUP. So if Paul wants to find people to blame, he needs to look in a mirror.
Okay, I'm sure we will speak many times over the next few days. Martin, thank you very much. That's our Finance Minister, Martin O'Mullier.